Clothing and promotion. As teachers, what we wear when we're teaching and promoting our teaching communicates something to our students. So let's consider clothing for a moment. A primary school teacher once told me the rule that she had for the teacher's dress code at her school. She said, "If you can see up it, down it, or through it, don't wear it." I think it's a good rule of thumb for teaching yoga too. Teaching yoga is different to teaching at a primary school, however. In some situations, it can be appropriate for teachers to wear more revealing clothing. For example, if it's necessary for students to see part of the teacher's body in a particular pose or practice. But when the teacher's clothing is sexualized, focused on exhibiting the body, or overly branded, then it detracts from the teaching. It's the teacher's job to create a safe and sacred space for the teachings to be shared. And by dressing modestly and in a way that doesn't distract from the teachings, we can support our students to focus on their own inner perceptions and what is being taught. This is not about being a prude, but about recognizing our role as a teacher and being clear about our intentions when we dress for class. Students notice what we wear, and like it or not, it's part of the message that we're sharing when we stand in front of a class of students. What messages do you think that these clothes give? Notice your first reaction to it, and then see what happens when you ponder it for a little while more. Feel free to pause the video if you like. So all of these images that I'm showing you are all stock images. I'm not naming and shaming any yoga teachers. I'm just interested in opening a discussion on clothing, intention, what we're communicating by what we wear, and how it could affect our students. Interesting, right? Where do we draw the line between what is appropriate and what is not? What is a healthy appreciation for the body and the wonderful things it can do versus being over-sexualized, over-exhibiting, and detracting from the teachings of yoga? I don't have all the answers, but I'm definitely interested in promoting reflection and discussion about this. So, in a similar vein, let's turn now to social media and promotion. Promoting your yoga classes and offerings, whether it's on social media or on your website or on a printed flyer or some other method, can be an effective way yoga teachers can share their love of yoga and promote their yoga businesses. Taking photographs or videos in impressive yoga poses to promote yoga is not new. Here's a video that I found on YouTube with Krishnamacharya demonstrating yoga on film in 1938.
Yastyaktvarupamadyam prabhavati jagatah anekadha anugrahaya prakshena klesharashihi vishama vishadharah anekavaktra subhogi सर्वज्ञानप्रसूतिः भुजगपरिकरः प्रीतये यस्य नित्यम् देवो हीशः स वो व्यात् सितविमलतनुः योगदो योगयुक्तः योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचाम् मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तम् प्रवरं मुनीनाम् पतञ्जलिं प्राञ्जलि रानतोऽस्मि आबाहुपुरुषाकारम् शङ्खचक्रासिधारिणम् सहस्रशिरसं श्वेतं प्रणमामि पतञ्जलिम्। श्रीमते अनंताय नागरा.
Fascinating, isn't it? In the book, Krishnamacharya, His Life and Teachings, Krishnamacharya's longtime student A.G. Mohan writes about how Krishnamacharya would have his daughter, Shubha, demonstrate difficult yoga poses that no ordinary person could do, and have photographs taken of himself in intense yoga postures with the express interest of popularizing yoga. Apparently, Krishnamacharya even had photographs of himself standing on the back of a boy in pigeon pose. When A.G. Mohan asked Krishnamacharya how a yoga teacher could teach these intense asanas to ordinary people with health issues, Krishnamacharya replied, "It was a demonstration for propaganda. You should not take it literally. Shubha can do it, but for the others, you must suggest appropriate asanas. Only the principle is important." Take a look at these photographs of Krishnamacharya in Mysore in 1933 on the left in Pinchamayarasana and in Setubandhasana on the right. And then in the middle, over 30 years later, in 1966 in Chennai in Uttita Pashvakonasana. While Krishnamacharya is not wearing a lot of clothing in these photos and is demonstrating some pretty difficult poses, what he didn't do, as far as I'm aware, was post photographs of himself that were naked, sexualized, or body image focused. These photos were to demonstrate the poses to encourage people to try yoga, not to exhibit his body. Yoga teachers seem to be divided on the use of social media and yoga. Some see it as a necessary evil and use it in order to promote their classes. Others see it as a wonderful way to share the message of yoga and promote their classes. And others shy away from it altogether, seeing it as selling out. This is a decision that each teacher must make for themselves. If you choose to use social media, I suggest adding to the conversation in a way that is authentic and empowering for those who choose to follow you, rather than leaving people feeling not good enough about themselves and disenchanted with yoga. APRA, the Australian Health Regulation Practitioner Agency, mandates that registered health practitioners only post information on social media that complies with professional obligations, for example, the ethical obligations of the profession, complies with confidentiality and privacy obligations, such as by not discussing patients or posting pictures of procedures, case studies, patients, or sensitive material, which may enable patients to be identified without having obtained consent in appropriate situations. Present information in an unbiased, evidence-based context, and do not make unsubstantiated claims. I believe that this is a reasonable ask of yoga teachers as well. So here are some suggested do's and don'ts of promotion and social media. Do not share photographs or mentions of your students without their clear consent. Do not share sexualized images or texts. Do not share images or texts that glorifies the physical body or inflated promises on the effects of yoga. And to consider before sharing, consider the yamas and the niyamas. Consider your intention behind sharing the images. And consider giving photographers, teachers, and ideas that you're sharing credit. So here's a real life example I thought I'd share with you. A psychologist and a yoga teacher I know once posted a photograph of herself naked on her public Instagram page. She was sitting by a beautiful river and you couldn't see her breasts or her genitals, but it still felt inappropriate and unnecessary to me. When I raised it with her, she said that she didn't see the problem with posting the photograph and it felt so natural to her with being naked that she didn't even notice that she didn't have any clothes on when she posted it. She said that the problem was with society's view of the naked body being shameful and she didn't see that posting naked photographs of herself was an issue. So her response had me questioning my own beliefs as I wondered if I was being unnecessarily prudish. But after consulting with a number of my close colleagues, it helped me to clarify my initial standpoint. So here's what I came to. Unless there's a specific reason for sharing a naked photograph, then posting naked photographs is unnecessary at best and harmful at worst. So here's a few reasons why. In posting naked photographs, you may attract students or clients who are only coming to you as they've seen you naked and therefore may be coming to see you for inappropriate reasons. For example, they might be sexually attracted to you, or they may believe that you offer naked services. Attracting these students or clients into the studio may be unsafe both for you, for the other teachers, and for other students in the studio. Even though your intention may not have been sexual when you posted a naked photo, it may be perceived that way, and sexual engagements with students is not appropriate for therapists or for yoga teachers. You're communicating to others that posting naked photographs is appropriate, which is especially problematic for young women who may be encouraged or coerced by peers or partners to post naked photos on social media. It may be triggering for students or clients who have experienced sexual trauma. By focusing the conversation on your physical body and your nakedness, you're detracting from the teachings of yoga. You have no control over who sees these photographs, how they might be perceived, and for what they might be used for in the future. So I do believe that there's a place for conscious self-disclosure on social media. My rule of thumb is that I never post anything in the public domain that I would not be comfortable with a client or student knowing or seeing. I wouldn't sit naked in front of a student or a client, and therefore I would not post a photograph of myself sitting naked, no matter how chaste or natural it was. And to follow up on the example of my colleague, after I shared all these points with her, she said that she was able to see why I believe that posting naked photographs in that context was inappropriate, and she decided to keep the naked photographs on her private page and delete the naked photograph from her business page. Personally, I wouldn't be posting any naked photographs of myself anywhere online. Who knows who can access them and where they'll end up in the future, but that's a decision for us all to make for ourselves. So that's it for clothing and promotion from me. I know this one was a bit controversial and you may or may not agree with what I've said here, but I do hope that it's got you thinking about your intentions when you dress for class or promote your services. I'll see you in the next video.